Let's go ahead and turn to 1 Samuel 17, 26 through 29. 1 Samuel 17, 26 through 29. We're going to start there today. I just have this word in my spirit, and I think it's going to ignite something in you. This is the story here of David and Goliath. Most of us know this story. It's a great story. It's the story of Rocky before the movie Rocky. Come on, you know. The underdog, the one that didn't seem like had a chance at making it in life, yet he takes down Goliath. But I want to read to you this aspect here from the story. It says this in verse 26, "Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, 'What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?' And the people answered him in this manner, saying, 'So shall it be done for the man who kills him.' And now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, 'Why do you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle.' And David said," and I want you to catch this, "'What have I done now? Is there not a cause?'" Amen. Tell your neighbor right now, is there not a cause? We live in a time right now where it is like so popular to jump on the wagon of whatever cause is in social media or in the news. How many know what I'm talking about? Everybody is marching. Everybody's protesting. Everybody's mad about DACA. Everybody's mad about Black Lives Matter. Everybody's jumping on these bandwagons, anti-Trump, pro-Trump. There are all these causes that are happening. Now, a lot of these causes are good. They're good causes. Can I get an amen on that? Before I saw it, I brought some of them up. Y'all got all looking at me sideways like I'm going to talk about your cause. Listen, these are good causes, whatever these causes are. Some of you are involved in other causes like don't be cruel to animals or, you know, cats, you know, to be treated like humans or whatever else, you know, or save the whales and shoot the seals or whatever. Because the seals eat all the fish, right? So we want to save the... Never mind. Anyways, but there's all these causes that are out there. How many know what I'm talking about? And it's a new one every week. And Facebook will put out the little thing on there where you could put, this is what I don't understand. This was crazy to me. It'll say, pray for Houston because of the cause of the flood victims. And you're supposed to put it on selfies. And so people say, pray for Houston. Hey, look at me right here. I don't understand that. Oh, somebody's going back to their Facebook right now. Did I put that on there? And why are these things so important and so popular right now? It's because it's become the in thing to pick up a cause and run with it and be a part of it. Yeah, we're mad because Trump's doing this. Yeah, we're mad about, the females, you know, and we want equality for males and females. And I see Christians get so distracted by things and we forget the greatest cause of all, which is the cause of Jesus Christ. And I see believers get in little Facebook wars and Facebook beefs about this person's belief and that person's belief. And, well, yeah, Black Lives Matter, but all lives matter. And they get in these beefs here, well, you know, not my president and all this other stuff. And when was the last time you were as passionate about the cause of Christ? We get more excited and more passionate about our race than we do the kingdom. We get more passionate about being a female or a male or this than we do about the cause of Jesus Christ in the earth, which is the greatest cause of them all. And so I say to you today, is there not a cause? As David proposed that question, he was telling the people that were getting upset with him about stepping up to face Goliath, like, hey, isn't this what we're supposed to be doing? Isn't this worth me laying down my life because the cause is so great? And I pose that question to you today because I'm tired of believers. I'm tired of Christians complaining about the sacrifices that we've got to make for the greatest cause of all. Can I get a strong amen on that? Amen. We've got Christian singles that don't want to live holy. They want to be like the world. And, well, you know, if I do this, they're going to make fun of me. Is there not a cause to live strong and stay out of somebody's bed that is not your husband or your wife? Well, I'm going to be lonely. Is there not a cause to be lonely for? You mean we have to give 10% of our income? Is there not a cause? Are you tracking with me today? Well, I got to go to church every Sunday. Is there not a cause? We live in a day right now when we want to pay prices for causes that are less than the greatest cause of all, which is the cause of Christ. And it irritates me. It irritates me to see what we're willing, the price we're willing to pay for things that are lesser. I've said this before, if you've ever had your son or your daughter in athletics, oh my gosh, it's like having a second job. Because now if your son or daughter plays basketball or football, let's take football for instance, Pop Warner, they will have practices 3 to 4 times a week. And here's the rule, okay? The rule is a parent has to be at all the practices, okay? So think about that. 3 or 4 practices a week, 2-hour practices. That's 8 hours from your everyday life to be at that place. And you know what? None of the parents complain. They go, they get their lawn chair, they come out there with their book or their little tablet or whatever, and they're there because the cause is great to them. Are you tracking with me? Gets even worse. My cousin used to own a gymnastics gym. And to be in gymnastics, oh my Lord, my aunt will tell you, it's like 2 jobs. And then you got to pay money with the time to be a part of that thing. And I would watch parents that would drive 2 hours from the Bay Area to be a part of my cousin's gym because it was the best in the West Coast. And they would drive 2 hours, okay, and the kids would be there from 9 to 7 o'clock at night. And the parents many times would get off work and sit in the lobby for 2 hours. But not only that, they'd have to pay a hefty fee to be a part of that gym. But that still wasn't enough. If they were going to be a part of the gym, they had to pay a fee, and then they had to sign up to be a part of the parents' team. What's the parents' team, you say? Well, a few times a month, they would need to put in extra time to help deep clean the gym. And guess what? There was a waiting list for that gym. You know why? Because the people believed in the cause of their children. But we live in a time and an age where everybody wants to get on a cause. And I'm telling you right now, quit chasing causes. The greatest cause of all is the cause of Jesus Christ. And my question to you is, my question to a selfie generation is, what are you doing for the cause? How many know we're a selfie generation? Selfie is simply short for selfish. I feel a tomato spirit coming in here. I already feel it. It's where we make life about us. It's the worst way to live. Ask your spouse. Nothing worse than being married to somebody selfish. Ask your kids. Nothing worse than having a parent that can't get themselves out of the way enough to make the family about the kids. Are you tracking with me today? We live in a generation that is about self, that is all about self. But listen, as believers, we can't afford to be like that. We've got to remember there's a cause. And that cause Jesus Christ gave his very life for. He bled on the cross for. The greatest in the kingdom, the Son of God, laid down his life for this cause. And then He gives a cause over to us. And he tells us in Matthew 28, go into all the world and preach the gospel, make disciples. That's what he said. He didn't say go into all the world and just pray a prayer, sit in church every Sunday, and do nothing for this cause. I know it's confusing because that's what some people seem to think this thing is about. But this thing is about laying down our life for the cause of Christ. And I challenge you today, let's begin to shift in our mind what this Christian walk is about in your life and get involved in the cause. Let me show you Matthew 16, verse 18. Matthew 16, verse 18 says this, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What is happening in this statement here? Jesus is telling you what he's doing in the earth. The only thing that Jesus is building on the planet earth is the church. The only thing I want to make sure that is worth me laying down my life is the church. Why? Because it's the cause that Jesus gave his only life for. And we need to make sure this, that we are about our Father's business. Can I get a good strong amen on that? These other causes are great, but they don't warrant laying down our lives and connecting with the very thing that you and I have been born again to do, and that is to perpetuate the cause of Christ, which is to build the church. He says in this statement here, I will build my church. So this that means this, if you're walking with Jesus, you should be doing what he's doing. Oh, you didn't catch that. That's a good place to say amen. I said, if you're walking with Jesus, you're doing what he's doing. If you're not doing what he's doing, you're not walking with Jesus. But I go to church. But I prayed a prayer and I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross and I came to the altar at one point. That's fine. At one point, maybe you were about the Father's business. But if you've gotten away from the cause of Christ, I don't care if you've been in the church for 10 years. If you ain't building the thing, you ain't walking with him. And if you ain't walking with him, there's so many blessings that you're going to miss out on in your life. Because look at the next part he says there. He says here, and on this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell will not overcome it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What are the keys for? Are the keys for you just to treat God like he's some genie? Come on. Where you just get to do whatever you want, and when you need something, you pray to him, and he gives you something, and he helps you with your dreams and your things and your business, and it's about you. You're missing the point. This thing is about serving Jesus as Lord, coming alongside of the greatest cause in all the world, which is the cause of Christ. And what is the cause of Christ? To build his church. To build his church. Universally and locally. Every time we go to another country, we're trying to build the church over there. We're trying to help folks in that area. Listen, I go to Malaysia. It's the second largest, Malaysia and Indonesia, the two of the largest Muslim countries in the world. And when I go there, if the government finds out that I make converts of Muslim people, they will throw me in jail and never let me come out. In some places, you could be put to death for things like that. I still go. My wife still allows me to go. You want to know why? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Listen, we had a whole team go, and so many people came back sick. And I was one of them. We went to the Philippines. I was laid out for 3 days. It was bad. But you know, when I was sick, I never once said, oh, I shouldn't have left. You know what I said? It's worth it. It's worth it if I got to be up on this toilet for 3 days. Come on, somebody. It's worth it. Because is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Yes, there's a cause. Now let's bring it back home. Think of the things that you're dealing with in your Christian walk. Don't allow the whiny spirit of the world to come into your life.
Well, if I wasn't serving God, I could go clubbing on Saturday.
Is there not a cause? Come on, somebody.
Well, what's wrong with clubbing? Well, why, how come I can't go out and have a drink?
You want to know what the difference is in that kind of lifestyle and in one that's about the cause? Fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. Oh, are we getting there? Pastor, are you saying we can't drink? We can't go places? Listen, what I'm saying is this. If you're going to do those things, there should be fruit. And after 25 years of living and serving the Lord, I've never seen somebody that straddled the fence ever bear good fruit. So you could come at me doctrinally.
Well, the Bible says it's only bad if you get drunk, and it's nothing wrong with, and Jesus drank wine. And
listen, that Jesus bore fruit. You want to drink wine like Jesus, bear some fruit. And I will shut my mouth. I'll buy you a bottle and take it over to your house. Here you go. Keep bearing fruit. Nah, I won't do that. I'm just saying. Because some of y'all were like, it's on, Pastor. It's on. That'll be a Merlot. No, listen. It's about fruit bearing. It's about bearing fruit. It's about producing. Think about what Jesus taught about the kingdom. He said, if you're not doing anything with what I give you, you don't get more. Think about the parables, the talents. To the one he gave five, to the one he gave three, the one he gave one. And he came back to all of them. And to the one that did nothing with what he had, he took from him and gave it to the guy that was producing. And we wonder why. Why isn't my business working? Why aren't my finances prospering? Why can't I get ahead? Why am I behind? Maybe it's because you have not yet taken up the cause of Christ. Are you tracking with me? If Jesus is Lord, you're about what's important to him. If he's not Lord, all you got is a little fire insurance, which means this: you're only in church because you feel bad about your sins. You're only here with your fingers crossed that you don't go to hell someday. Listen, that is the wackest way to live. It's a terrible way to live. Get involved in the cause of Christ. Connect with your God-given destiny. Let me show you something else in 2 Chronicles 7:16. Pastor Charles Neiman, when he was with us, when he talked about the church being the gateway, he shared this scripture. And he says this: believe me, I've chosen and sanctified this temple that you have built. My name is stamped on it forever. My eyes are on it, and my heart in it always. Do you want to know what is on the heart of Jesus? His church. You want to know where his eyes are? His church. The thing that is closest to the heart of God is the church. I know we still got ignorant people out there saying, well, I love God, I just don't go to church. I love God, I just don't believe in organized religion. I love God, but I just don't see the point in going to church. See, you don't see the point. That's exactly what it is. You have no revelation. You have no understanding. This thing is about connecting with God. I'll put it to you like this. We are no closer to God than we are when we are doing his will in the earth. What is his will in the earth? To build the church. To build the church. That's why after 25 years, I don't cry or moan when we give our tithe. I don't want, oh my gosh, how are we going to do it if I give this up? We just give it, and we know the greatest thing I could do for my family, the greatest thing I can do for my finances is to yoke it to the thing that is close to God's heart. The greatest thing I can do with my time, my talents, this team up here that's up here singing, and they practice, and they get together, and they learn the songs, and they do all this stuff. The greatest thing they could do with their talent and their abilities is give it to the house of God. I know, you still hear the voice of your Theo or your Thea or your friend down the street. Yeah, why you give to the church so much? Why you always in church? Why you this or that? This is what you tell them. Because the Bible says that God's eyes and his heart is on the church. If I love God, I put my eyes and my heart there as well. Can I get a good strong amen? If that means I quit clubbing, I quit clubbing. that means I stop sleeping around, I stop sleeping around. If that means I go from having tons of friends to being alone, I go to being alone. Why? Because is there not a cause? If that means my family gets mad at me because I'm all about church, let them get mad. Is there not a cause? If I lose things, if I lose money, if I lose relationships, is there not a cause? And I tell you, there is a cause. It's called the church. Look at Psalms 92. We say this all the time here in the house. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. This is a promise from God. But why would God give us promises? It's the same thing we do as parents when we're trying to get our kids to do something. What do? We show them the rewards. Hey, if you clean your room, you get to go over to your friend's house. How many parents have ever done something like that? Hey, if you do this chore, we're going to get you some ice cream. Amen. Anybody ever had parents that did that? Y'all had some mean parents. That's what's happening in this place. Nobody had parents like that. Listen, that's what you do when you want to get your kids to move and do something that you expect them to do. That's what God the Father's doing in the scripture here. He's saying, plant yourself in the house of God. Plant yourself there. And if you do, you will bear fruit in your old age, and you shall be fresh and flourishing. See, some of y'all are trying to be fresh out there in the world, and you're not fresh. Tell your neighbor that you ain't fresh. You ain't fresh. How do we get fresh? We get committed to the cause of Christ. We get committed to it. Now, some of you, listen, I'm preaching to the choir in a sense because you are committed. You serve in the house. You do the different things. You give. You're a part of the outreaches. Let this encourage and strengthen your commitment to God. And get rid of that whiny little demonic voice that always wants to complain about the sacrifices that we got to make as believers. Get rid of that thing. Well, all my friends are going out on Friday. They're dating crazy dudes. Is there not a cause for you to stand on your convictions? Come on, somebody. Is there not a cause? Well, if my friends find out I go to church and I serve the Lord at lunchtime, I'm going to eat lunch all by myself. They're going to think I'm weird. They already think you're weird. That's why they just keep you around, because you're funny. You're the weird friend. Is there not a cause? Are you guys tracking with me today? We've got to settle in our hearts that whatever we do with our lives, we've got to connect it to what is on the heart of God, and that is building and strengthening the church, bearing fruit, touching lives, getting people saved, getting people connected. Because see, here's the thing. Why is the church so important? Why do we do what we do? You heard the appreciation. Man, I don't know how you guys do it. Man, you give so much. Listen, we do it because it's on the heart of God. And if I could get you to start aligning your desires and the things you want with the things that are on the heart of God, your life will change drastically. But see, we're a selfie generation. All we can see is what we want. My career, my ministry, my this, my family, my finances. Listen, if you could ever get over yourself, life will get great. Great. But see, we're so consumed. And we even do things for God, and the reward that we seek out is others seeing it. Remember what Jesus told the Pharisees? He said this to the Pharisees, when you pray, don't go out into the streets and tell everybody you pray. He said, do it in secret. You know what the translation of that should be nowadays? When you pray, don't get on Facebook and tell everybody you just got done praying. Pray for Houston. You ain't got to post about it. Pray for Santa Rosa. You ain't got to tell everybody you're praying. Just do it. And then there's this pressure. Oh, this pressure. Everybody's posting, pray for Santa Rosa. Pray for Houston. Pray for Puerto Rico. Pray for Mexico. And then if you don't put it up there, you think, oh, they might think I ain't praying. Who cares? Smile at me now. Because your little, I'm praying for this or I'm praying for that, doesn't matter. You know what matters? Is what God sees you doing. Because 80% of people that put that on their little Facebook thing ain't even praying. Oh, come on, somebody. You're mad because you're one of them right now. ain't you praying. Just because you put a banner up, praying for Puerto Rico, that don't mean nothing. Amen? You know what matters? Get on your face and pray for those folks. And don't tell anybody about it sometimes. Sometimes that's what it takes. Are you tracking with me today? Because we get on this false thing about all these causes, and we neglect the greatest cause of all, which is to build the church. Now, why do we want to build the church? Because Psalms 92 tells us the more people we could get in the house, the more they'll flourish and be fresh. You know what the answer is to every community on the planet Earth? Get people in the house of God. Get people in the house of God. Because if we could get people out there plugging in here, their life will flourish. Their life will flourish. They'll be fresh. Are you seeing that there? They'll bear fruit in their old age. Now let's look at Matthew 21, 12 through 13. I'm coming in for a landing. Matthew 21, 12 through 13 says this. Jesus entered the temple courts, the church of his day, and he drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. Verse 13, it is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you're making it a den of robbers or thieves. Now, many people have seen this scripture before, but it's an interesting scripture. The Son of God, for the first time, was provoked to such anger that he stepped out of being polite and he walked up on folks, and the Bible says he threw over their tables. Another translation, I believe it, another account of the story in the book of Mark says that Jesus literally went in and he tied cords together and he made a whip. He made a whip, the Bible says, and I believe it's Mark or it might even be John, that when he went into the church, he was so angry about what was going on in his house, because remember, his eyes and his heart is there, that this is the only time in Scripture he went to whipping folks. Because how many of you know that's what fathers do? Some of you don't know that. Some of you don't know that because you didn't have a dad. You thought dads just play catch in the backyard. I didn't have a dad to play catch with me. No, you didn't have a dad that would whoop your butt when you acted a fool. You didn't have a dad that would get a belt and say, pull them pants up. Be a man. Oh, come on, smile at me, y'all. Fathers do that. Fathers discipline. Amen? Amen. Smile at me now. Oh, I'm making some moms mad too now. Read the Bible. Amen? Let's go on. But Jesus comes into the temple. He makes a whip. He's so aggravated at what is going on in the house of God. And he says this. He says, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you're making it a den of thieves. And so many people have talked about this, and they've said, well, he was mad because they're selling stuff in the church. No, 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 you're missing it. What does it mean to be a thief or a robber? Check this out, because some of you in here might be a thief or a robber. A thief or a robber is one who takes what is not his for his own personal gain. That's for his own personal gain. That's what Webster's Dictionary says. A thief or a robber is one who takes what is not his for his own personal gain. You know what I just described? How America goes to church. We come in and take for our own personal gain. And so we ask people all the time, how was church, or why did you leave that church? They say, oh, I wasn't receiving anything. Why do you go to that church? Oh, because I like this and I like that. And it's all selfish, personal stuff. What is a robber? A robber is one who takes what is not his for his own personal gain. Jesus came into the church and he was mad because it was full of robbers. My prayer is this, that when Jesus looks at this church and he looks because his eyes are on it, he doesn't see a den of thieves. He doesn't see people that are just here to take for their own selves. He sees people that are here to give and receive and give out to others. Remember what he said the greatest commandment was, to love God with your whole heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. That is why we say, love God, lift others. Because if you're living for yourself, you're a robber, you're a thief. Because this thing that God is trying to give you, it ain't just for you. It ain't all just about your little business, your little family, your little marriage. It's about yours and others. Are you tracking with me today? So we've got to make sure that when we approach God, we're not coming at him as robbers or thieves. We've got to make sure the church is to be a house of communion. And seeking God is not just about seeking him for our personal gain, but for seeking him for others. I say it like this. Each one of you has 5 to 10 people on the inside of you that God has saved you to reach. Let me give you that picture again. I said, I believe that God has put inside of each person here 5 to 10 people that God has saved you that you might reach them. Some of y'all got work to do because you've been saved 20 years and you only reached 2 of them. Oh, smile at me now. Come on, it's all right. Are you tracking with me today? We've got to shift our thinking about what it is that we're called to do with our lives. We're called to take on the cause of Christ. What does the word church mean? I've taught this here so many times before. J-Wave, if you could come up here on the keys. I've taught this so many times before. The church is a gathering together of called out ones to action. It comes from the word ecclesia in the Greek. We're supposed to be a called out one, a gathering together, not a dividing asunder. We're supposed to be coming together, together. Together is the language of families. Together. It's important as a family we come together. But as there's family language, there's also language of orphans. There's language of people that are orphans, that aren't a part of anything. And they tend to say this a lot. Well, I don't feel like I belong. I don't fit. Listen, you got to stop talking like that. Stop thinking like that. You have got to connect with the heart of God. And the heart of God is for the church. Why? Because the church is the vehicle that God has placed in the earth to release the kingdom. The church is the vehicle that God has released in the earth to release freshness, flourishing lives. The greatest thing you could do for your friends is not go out and have a drink with them on Friday night. Not go out and just be nice to folks. The greatest thing you could do for people is invite them to the house of God, because they will find Jesus there. Why? Because his heart is in the house and his eyes are forever on the house. Are you tracking with me today? So I just feel like in the spirit, there's a hand from heaven coming and shifting your focus, as if he was grabbing your face and saying, no, 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 stop looking over there. Look here. Look here. Change your focus. The things that God has given you, the gifts, the talents, the abilities, the finances, a portion of that is for you to enjoy a good life, but it's also to build the house of God. We've got to take on his heart for the house of God. Matthew 21, one more scripture here. It says this: the blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. What is that significant about? That's prophetic to what the church is to do. The blind and the lame come in. What is the blind? People with no vision. Do you know what communities are fallen prey to? Lack of vision. Why people start doing drugs and drink and get tied up in things? No vision. The Bible tells us in Habakkuk 2:2 that if we write the vision and make it plain, we can run who reads it. The Bible also tells us this: without a prophetic vision, people cast off restraint. The greatest thing you could do for your life is get a vision. The greatest thing you could do with this gift of salvation is get a vision. And your vision shouldn't just be to have a nicer life, have a good family. Those are great things. But you've got to get a heart for what is on the heart of Jesus, and that is his church. Are you tracking with me? The Bible says the blind and the lame come to the temple. Blind are people with no vision. Church provides vision. Gives you vision. How many of you here, when you gave your life to the Lord, when you became a part of this church, since that time, your vision has grown? You've been to other countries. You've preached. You've prayed over folks. You've laid hands on the sick. You've seen miracles. What has God done? He's given you vision. And the Bible says there's another type of person that comes to the church, and that's the lame. That's the lame. Who are the lame? The lame are those that can't quite walk right. And there's some of us in here for a long time. Our walk with Christ is weak. It's lame. you serve him for a few weeks, few months, and then we don't see you for a while. And then you come back and you're here, but you're not serving, you're not doing anything, and you're gone again. Listen, what is that? That's a person who walks with a limp. Now, praise God, you're still walking, but the church is where we fix those lame areas and we get your walk with Christ right so that you could be stable. And stable people raise good kids. Can I get an amen on that? Stable people have better marriages. But folks that are flaky, folks that are could be considered bipolar in their thinking, one day they're up, the other day they're down. This week we're a fire for Jesus. The next week we don't even believe there's a God. Listen, you got a lame walk. We got to get your walk right so that you could be fruitful in your life and in the house of God. Can I get a good strong amen on that? This is the purpose that you and I have been saved. And God wants to ignite that again, because some of y'all, you go to church, but there's no fruit. And I'm reminded of the parable that Jesus talked about of the wheat and the tares. What's the thing about the wheat and the tares? The thing about the wheat and the tares is they look exactly the same. It looks like a Christian, but the Bible says that at harvest time, you begin to see what is wheat and what is not. Because at harvest time, something amazing happens to the wheat in the field. When it's time to harvest, the wheat all of a sudden begins to bow down. And it leans over. And you can now look at a field at harvest time, and you could see what is wheat and what is a tare. Now, a tare is just a weed. It's good for nothing. And we're going to have that time in the church where we all look like we're disciples of Jesus Christ. But if you're not bearing fruit, you're not bowing before the Lord, you need to hear this morning. This is not a mean thing to say. I am throwing out at you a lifesaver. Maybe you're a tare. What does the parable go on to say about the tares? The tares, it says, the wheat is harvested and brought into the storehouse. The tares are picked and burned because there's no need, there's no use of them. There's no use of them. And some of us, our lives that are going on right now, you're living, you keep saying to yourself, man, being a Christian's not working. No, 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 no. You got it all wrong. If being a Christian is not working for you, you ain't doing it right. It's like when you got toys for Christmas and you put the batteries in wrong, or you didn't put no batteries in at all. Y'all remember them days? Sad day, sad day. Or what was even worse is when you got the toy and the batteries weren't included and mama didn't catch that part, and all your other friends are out front playing with their cars and stuff, and you're like, I got a car, but I can't use it because ain't no batteries. Christian life that is not living for the cause of Christ is like that. And it won't be long. You're going to get bored. It won't be long. You'll be on Instagram looking at your friends at the club and get pulled that way. It won't be long. You'll all of a sudden just go back. You want to know why? Because a life without embracing the cause of Christ, Christianity doesn't work. It doesn't work. But you look at the people in this house that are bearing fruit. You look at the people in this house that are showing the fruits of the harvest in their life, and you see something different in them. You know what you do? You follow those folks. You say, what is it about you? You're different in the house. You go after those type of folks. And we've got to get away from this thing in our society, in our generation, that's just about appearance. We got to get substance. And I tell you today, as you leave here and you have to sacrifice, you got to make changes in your life, and you might have to break up with this person, or you might have to quit hanging out with those folks, and you may have to start doing this, that, and the other before you start going to that whiny place of complaining about the sacrifice and what it takes. Ask yourself this: is there not a cause? I say there is. It's the cause. Stand on your feet today. I want you to just bow your heads for a moment before I let you go. I want to pray over each person here. We want to strengthen our commitment to the cause of Christ. Maybe some of you have been distracted. You're more interested in other things than what is on the heart of God. And just keep your eyes closed for a moment because I want to talk to your spirit right now. Father, I just thank you that we've been given the greatest cause that there is in the planet Earth. And we embrace this cause not because it's trendy, not because it's, well, you know, it's nice or this or that. We embrace this cause because it's on your heart, because it's where your eyes are, because you're our Lord. And Lord, whatever is important to you, I want to be important to me. It's what relationship is about. It's what covenant is about. And I refuse, Lord God, to live my life apart from the thing that you're doing. And your word is clear. The only thing you're building in the earth is the church. Father, help us all to just play our part, to just connect where you want us to connect, to just do the part that you put in our hands to do for the greatest cause of all. And Lord, I'm reminded that as we plant in the house of God, you said we would flourish, we would be fresh, that even in our old age, Lord God, we would still be fruitful. I speak that over each person that is here today, Lord. Shift our focus, Lord God. Help us to lay down our lives to reach people. Lord, I thank you what you're going to do out here on October 31st. Thank you on that day as we get out here, Lord, and we set up that trunk or treat. It may seem like just a neat event, but Father, people are going to come into the house of God. People are going to feel your love. I pray as this team goes out next Saturday to Santa Rosa, it won't be just to get some attention on social media. It won't be because it's a trendy thing to do. It'll be because, Lord, even in Santa Rosa, we want to build the church. We want to add people to the kingdom so that they can be fresh and flourishing. Keep your eyes closed for a moment longer. I just feel a real holy moment. Some of us in this place, you've gotten away from your purpose. The Bible tells us this in the parables, that one of the things that choked the word of God was the cares of the world. Bills. Need for a job. Stuff that we all deal with sometimes can take our focus away from the reason we're alive. And I just feel a real holy moment right now. And maybe you're a person that's been here and you've gotten away from what this thing's about. You've just made it about the appearance. God is asking you to commit closer. And as you commit your heart to his family, he'll commit his heart to yours. The favor of God will flood your life, your business, because you're a vehicle building what is on the heart of God. Now, Father, if there's anyone here, Lord, I thank you. You're quick to forgive. You're quick to give a new start. I just pray today, Lord, that you align our life vision with what you're doing in the earth. And Lord, strengthen us that we don't whine and we don't complain the same way you didn't complain about being on the cross, same way you didn't complain in the Garden of Gethsemane. Give us that same resolve for the call. And let it ring in our spirits when it gets tough and it gets hard and we have to make sacrifices. Is there not a cause? Bless the people of God this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. How many got something this morning? Amen. Let's give God a good praise clap.